I had mentioned last week on the baptism of the Lord that there's really only one thing that I want the Lord to say to me at the end of my life, which is, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." That's the only thing that I want to hear the Lord say, not like, "Well, you know, you could have done better, you know, there's some room for improvement." I don't want to hear any of that. "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." But these readings today, three of my favorite readings, and it made me realize that I didn't always have that desire, though, for my life to be oriented towards the end of my life, towards my eternal life with God in heaven, and to be pleasing to Him. And this call of Peter and Andrew is one that's so important. It's a very vocation-heavy homily in a lot of ways. You know, here, Samuel is the one that has the disposition that really we should all strive for and desire to have. He says, "Here I am. Here I am." You know, he's kind of ready to go, even when it wasn't the Lord. It was his father that he thought was calling him. It took him a bit to realize that it was the Lord because he didn't know the Lord. But his disposition is one of being ready to serve. "Here I am." And then it culminates with that, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." That's an amazing disposition. And I remember one of the scariest things in my life as a Christian, and just even with my call to the priesthood, was I'd actually thought to myself, you know, I want to do what God wants to do, but I'm actually afraid to let him take me up on that offer, because I was just like, I was afraid, like I think many people are, that he was going to take way more than he would give. But as one of my spiritual directors had said over the years, the Lord is absolutely never outdone in generosity. He is never outdone in generosity. So there's this great fear in each one of us to be like, well, if I give more to the Lord, he's gonna take it. You know, and I don't really want him to do that. But it's an amazing gift that if we could really give ourselves fully in our station in life to the Lord, the way he can absolutely transform it. And so I remember there was a moment at some point in my life where I was just by myself in my room, but out loud, I actually was like, "Lord, I want what you want." And then you're kind of like, you know, you're like a little bit afraid of what might happen after that. But my life really starts to transform at that point. It's amazing how he kind of waits for us to say something like, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." It's so easy to not listen. It's so, so unbelievably noisy in the world that it's difficult for us to hear the Lord calling us. And so this is my Peter and Andrew story in many ways. So as you all know, my name is Peter, and I have a first cousin named Andrew. And in many ways, our lives kind of were intertwined in some ways. And so one day, many years ago, he sent me a message, a long, long message on Facebook. And he said to me, so he was one of these guys that some of you are familiar with the situation. He got confirmed and never came back into the church ever again, which is a common thing, sadly, all too common in our church. And so all these years later, he was writing me a message. He was in college at this time, in his early 20s, and he started asking all about God. A long, long message about Christianity, about God, about our Catholic faith and everything. And I started writing him back. And then at the end of that message, I was like, I don't even know why he asked me this in the first place. And so I was like, by the way, why are you asking me? And he said, and so recently I had spoken at a rehearsal dinner at a wedding. And I talked about God. He said, well, at the rehearsal dinner, you spoke about God in a way that I never heard anybody in our family speak about God before. And even when I look back at myself at that time, I feel like I wasn't really doing all I could in my faith at that point. But there's an important point there. He recognized something in me that I didn't even fully recognize in myself at that point. And that's the way that our faith is. We recognize seeds of faith in each other's lives. And we have to bring them out, water them, cultivate them, and figure out some way to enliven them in people's lives. And that's exactly what you see happen with Andrew and Peter. Andrew goes and he tells Peter, you know, it's just like, we found the Lord. You know, he shares this good news with his brother. And so that started a long conversation between my cousin Andrew and I about the faith. And then it sort of culminates with this unusual but true story. I grew up on the East Coast. I grew up in New York and New Jersey. So we used to go to, like, you know, the Jersey Shore, and just we grew up in the water and on the coast. And so when we were out there, Andrew has two brothers. And so we were always in the water, and they were kind of surf bums. They really became part of the surf culture in a lot of ways. So Andrew was going to go to Australia to pick cherries and surf. That was like living the dream. I'm going to go to Australia, pick cherries on a farm, and then surf. But he makes the great mistake of coming to visit his cousin Peter in Portland before he goes. So he comes, and we start hanging out. And a lot of the time we're talking about the faith, and then we started to go. And he also had kind of a great inner feeling and a desire to serve. So even while he was here, he was helping out at St. Francis Food Kitchen. And so he was kind of trying to figure out what all this meant in his life. So then we went to the cathedral, which is my parish here in Portland. And he still was like, all this Catholic stuff. He was kind of coming around to Christianity, but like our Catholic faith, he didn't really understand and embrace so much. And then I had a competition coaching climbing up in Seattle, so we also went to the cathedral there. Still, more questions and frustrations. But then I kind of thought to myself, I was helping out with the youth group over at Holy Family in what is that, Eastmoreland, I guess. And I thought to him, you know, each of our parishes, they have a unique charism. They have a unique personality to them. I was like, maybe Holy Family will just be like sort of what he needs. And so we got there, and it was a huge turning point for him. Just the sort of warmth of the community. There were a lot of young families there and everything like that. And so at that point, he started to kind of turn a corner. And then I had to go out of town to go coach a climbing competition. And by the time I returned back into town, he had gone to confession, received communion, and was calling himself Catholic. And he never did go to Australia. He canceled the trip. He stayed in Portland for a few weeks more. And then he kind of went on with his life. And now my cousin goes by a different name. He's Brother Rufino Joseph. And he's a Franciscan friar of the Renewal. And he lives in Honduras. Sometimes I like to say that you know, John the Baptist said, there is someone greater coming after me. And that's how I feel about my cousin Andrew. I was like, yes, I became a priest, but sometimes I'm comfortable in my little rectory across the street, and I think about my cousin sleeping on the floor, serving extremely poor people. He entered the Franciscans the same year that I entered the seminary. It's an amazing thing how we support one another. And we bring out Christ in each other, or we can do that. We're capable of doing that. And so I mentioned to some of you during the daily masses that last weekend, the Archbishop had his annual Archbishop Discernment Retreat for men discerning vocations to the priesthood. And I was asked to hear confessions at that retreat. And so I arrived there, and that's a special memory for me as well. Because Andrew and I actually did go to that retreat together. I went to it twice, a first year and then a second year, and Andrew came with me on that second year. But the first year I was there, I was told about the retreat in the first place by Father Jeff Irvin. Father Jeff Irvin is an important character because he's our vocations director for the diocese. He was on his pastoral year from Rome. He was going to theology in Rome. He was on his pastoral year at the cathedral, my parish. And he said, Peter, there's this retreat. I think that you should go to it. So I went to that retreat. And as I was telling this story this year to the men who were there, I said, so this man right here, Father Jeff, who is your vocation director, is the one, even before he was a priest, who told me to come to this retreat. And I reminded him, I don't know a little bit of what it's like to feel what you guys feel. I know exactly what it's like to feel like that. I sat in this exact chapel 12 years ago. And who else did I meet in that chapel 12 years ago? I met Father Brent Crow and Father Rick Lefebvre. Father Rick is just over at St. Pius, and Father Brent, you all well know. Again, I don't even know if I could have gotten through my first 2 years at Mount Angel if it wasn't for Father Brent. We shared so much of our faith together and really forged a friendship that had Jesus at the center of it. And it was because we helped cultivate one another's vocation, because we were ready, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. We helped each other get through a lot of those humps. And so the second reading today is one of my favorite readings because, and I'm really glad that actually Mike read the reading too, because I know we share this in common. I like this in Spanish, actually. So bodybuilding in the United States is called bodybuilding, but in Spanish it's called cultura physical, or like physical culture. And I like that word better, physical culture, because that's like my life. My whole life has been in athletics. And so in that reading, Corinthians 6:19, there's this amazing phrase that goes, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you. You were bought with a price. So it's a reminder to me that in many ways, I've kind of taken care of my body and I've been an athletic guy. But that's not the important element of my life. The important element to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit is because of what you receive. And I often bring this up. Just like our tabernacle holds the consecrated hosts after the Mass, our bodies become a living tabernacle that holds Jesus Christ within us. So today in the Eucharist, we receive the Lord into our very body, and then we go out into the world, and then we share him with other people. We bring them into the fold. We recognize that they have a connection with God, and we figure out some way to bring that out and to show them that the Lord can actually be in us, that we're living, breathing, moving temples. I mean, that's an unbelievable, unbelievable gift. But we don't always treat ourselves that way. We don't always treat ourselves that way, but it's this great reminder that that's who we're called to be in our life. And so, in the Eucharist, sometimes there's moments where I'm holding our Lord in the Eucharist, and I'm just looking at the host, and I think about my cousin Andrew, who's half a world away. But that's when we are the closest. That somewhere half a world away in Honduras, that he might be in adoration, gazing at our Lord in the Eucharist. Or he might be at Mass. And we're reminded, it's one body. That though we're so far away, that we share in that very same thing, that we're bound together by it. And I don't really know what my vocation would have been like if it hadn't been intertwined with his. I know that the Lord did that on purpose. And even some of the timing, that the way that it worked out, he was able to come all the way from Honduras to my diaconate ordination in Rome. And that was the first time that he got to visit Assisi as well. And for a Franciscan to be able to visit Assisi, that was a huge deal in his life. And then I happened to be on my pastoral year when he took his solemn profession as a Franciscan, and I got to serve as a deacon at that solemn profession Mass. I could have just as easily still been in Rome those years, but the Lord saw it fit for those things to line up. The Lord is never outdone in generosity. We just have to say to him, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God bless you all today.